We have been talking about how the Spirit helps over the past few weeks, and it brought up a series of questions to me. Paul made a statement in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Now, he says in verse 9, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." This is a little bit different than what John the Apostle said, that he was in Revelation in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He had that means that we have that he was very spiritual minded, that the Spirit overwhelmed him on that day. It's not the day that he was born again. It was a close fellowship with God through the Spirit. We all have had that since we've been born again, right? This part right here is not talking about talking about the day that we have close fellowship with him after being born again. This is talking about that original being born again and being represented in Christ by the Spirit and being born again of the Spirit. But how do we get into Christ? How do we get the Spirit to dwell in us? You know, the Apostle Paul said in, that's a great question. How do we get the Spirit to be born in us? And I guess you ask a lot of different people, and they will give you a lot of different answers about how you get the Spirit in you, i.e. be born again, regenerated, or a lot of those different terms. How do you become a new man as opposed to the old man? How do you have a spiritual mind instead of a fleshly mind? All of these are talking about that pivotal point where you're born again. Different phrases for the same event. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 3, and I know we talked about this a few weeks ago, but that's okay. I don't want to go down that same exact road, but I want to mention this. John chapter 3, there's a man named Nicodemus that came to Jesus by night. And he wanted to know something about this question, and he wanted to be around Jesus of Nazareth. But he didn't want to be around him for fear of his friends, because he was a ruler of the Jews, a Pharisee. And he comes, and verse 2, this talks about the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God." So he says that we know him and all of his buddies. "We know that thou art a teacher come from God." But they didn't own him as that, did they? "For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." He said, "We know that. You know, the devils even know that too. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You can't see it, perceive it, or enter into it unless you're born again. Now you can see it and not enter into it. Y'all get that? We'll talk about that. That's a kingdom issue right there. Living in the kingdom, pressing into it. You can see it and not press into it as far as enjoying the benefits right now. That's a whole nother series of sermons. And it has to do with discipleship. When I'm talking about discipleship this morning, we're talking about sonship. And he says, That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? That's a great question. You know, if you won't learn too much unless you ask questions. Right? Jesus answered him and said, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? You hold a position of authority, and you are not a person that doesn't know these things, or that couldn't be in a position to know them. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. He's talking about him and all his buddies. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? You see the contrast that we've only got two categories here. We've got flesh, spirit, earthly, heavenly, old man, new man. You see the different categories we got. There's only two. We got fleshly and carnal, as opposed to spiritual. We've got all these, but there's only two categories, but a bunch of different words used to describe each one of them. And so, he goes on and talks to him about Moses and lifting up the serpent in the wilderness, but we're not going to get into that today. So, the Lord said that being born again is like the wind. And we talked about what the things that you could, the senses that we use to feel. We feel the wind, and we see the effects of the wind. We hear the wind. We can't, but really, what we hear is the wind blowing through the trees or flapping a flag. We see all that stuff. But really, the most truest sense that you get about the Spirit is that you feel it. You feel it. You can actually feel the wind on your skin, in your face. So that's telling, isn't it? You can't really taste the wind, and what you smell is carried by the wind. It's not the wind. Now, so Jesus is describing this to Nicodemus, and he says, so is everyone that is born of God. It's like the wind. That's how it happens. Well, still, you may say, how does a man be born again? I mean, how does it happen? Or what can you do to make it happen? Well, we have a lot of examples in the Scriptures about this event. Okay? I want us to take John the Baptist. You can turn over there in Luke chapter 1. The angel answered unto her in 35 and said, The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judea, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. That is an instance where John the Baptist was born again before, he was born of the Spirit before he was born of the flesh. You got that? That happened between his conception and his natural birth. Did any man preach to him? Did he hear a sermon? Nope. But he rejoiced at the sound of the mother of the Lord. Right? He rejoiced. He leaped for joy at that. And I'm telling you that when you hear the gospel, it ought to make you rejoice. It's not going to make you be born again, but it's going to make you rejoice. So John the Baptist was not baptized by anyone. He didn't say a prayer in order to become born of the Spirit. Who could get to an unborn child but God? God can. God got to John the Baptist and made him to leap for joy in his mother's womb. Do y'all see the power of God in his sending the Spirit where no man can go? He can send the Spirit wherever he pleases, just like where he sends the wind. Being born again is not the operation of man, it's the operation of God. He's the only one that can do it. Now, there are some other examples in here. We've got Saul of Tarsus as another example. And isn't it funny how God uses the most difficult of circumstances to prove the point that it's all of His glory, all by His power and authority over man. God uses the most difficult circumstances. So we've got Saul of Tarsus. Y'all know who Saul was, right? Let's turn over there to Acts chapter 9. I want to read to you about this man. Acts chapter 9. And it begins and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings. Now this is after he consented to the death of Stephen and had him stoned. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings, and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, talking about the way of Christ, talking about churches or people that meet in the name of Christ, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, Paul was not discriminatory. He said, I don't care who it is that's meeting in the name of Christ, whether they're men or women, and I'll put in their children. He didn't care. That he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Bound in chains for the purpose of trial, of death, and to be put into prison. And maybe death. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks or the ox goads. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, in Paul's later accounts of his experience, he says they saw the light, but they did not hear the voice. And in one place, he says they heard the voice. That seems strange, doesn't it? That Paul seems to contradict himself. But the issue is that they knew that somebody was talking, but it wasn't addressed to them. How Paul was with his company there, and God singled out Saul of Tarsus and struck him down on that road individually and not collectively. He chose Paul to send at that moment to send his spirit into that man and cause him to be born again while he was yet breathing out threatenings and on his way to put people like you and me into prison. That's an unlikely situation for a man to be born again if man had anything to do with it, isn't it? That's unlikely. But I think we all would agree that that was the moment that he was born again. Would you agree with that? I would. Number one, he recognized Jesus. He didn't know his name was Jesus, but he knew that he was his master and Lord. And he knew that he needed to serve him by asking his next question, What would thou have me to do? Because I recognize that you are the authority here and not me. I can imagine Paul having this conversation with the Lord and all of his friends thinking that he's a crazy man. And I tell you what, a lot of people have talked to the Lord and people thought they were crazy. Think about Hannah when she was there at the temple and she prayed in her heart. Only her lips were moving and nothing was coming out of her mouth. And Zacharias thought she was mad or drunk or something like that. And she said, No, I'm not. I'm not drunk. I'm talking to the Lord. And then on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind, there it is again, like the wind, and came among them, and they all thought that they were drunk too, right? And Peter says, it's just the third hour of the day. He said, it's just 9 o'clock in the morning. We're not drunk as you suppose, but we've had something else happen to us that you're not recognizing that we have, that we've had an experience of that. Now, that's an unlikely situation in person, right? Saul of Tarsus on the road, yet breathing out threatenings, asking permission to put people like you and me in prison. So we got John the Baptist, who was born of the Spirit before he was born of water. We've got Saul of Tarsus, who was yet breathing out threatenings, and all of his friends were going with him to put people like you and I into prison, and God struck him down individually, singled him out, because it was his purpose to do it that way. Nobody preached to Paul, Saul of Tarsus, did they? On the contrary, Saul wasn't baptized in order to receive the Spirit, was he? No. Saul didn't get down off of his horse and pray that God would that he would receive God. He didn't do that, did he? So it wasn't based on anything that Saul did, was it? But it was by the power of God. Now let's look at another example. We've got the thief on the cross. Let's go to him. We need to deal with it in two places. First, let's go to Matthew chapter 27. And verse 38. Well, let's back up 37. And set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him. Robbers, malefactors, people that had been convicted of a crime. Two thieves were crucified with him. One on the right hand and one on the left. Does that ring any bells? It should. "And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads." You know, y'all ever see anybody wag a head and revile somebody? It's like, na 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 boo boo, you know. It's crazy how people do. Kids do it a lot. When they make fun of somebody, they wag their heads. That's what that means. "And saying, Thou that destroyest the temple, thou that and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Listen to this. Here it is. "Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of the Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him." I just want to stop and say, they wouldn't have believed him even if he come down off the cross. They didn't believe it when he rose from the dead. He trusted God. "Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." Now here it is. I said it was here it is a minute ago. This is it. "The thieves plural, also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in their teeth." What does that mean? That means they said the same thing that everybody else did. They were reviling him, wagging their head at him, making fun of him. I mean, they're on the cross doing this. Imagine that. Being on the cross, and you're just as guilty as the other ones are, and you're making fun of them for being in the same situation that you're in. Isn't that pitiful? That's how humans do, isn't it? We look at other people and say, "Man, you've gained a lot of weight," or "Man, you're ugly," or "Man, you're dumb." And we never turn it on ourselves, do we? We never turn it on ourselves. When we're fat and lazy and dumb and all that, we just don't realize it. Well, both of these thieves, imagine imagine the ignorance and stupidity that they had being on the cross making fun of Jesus because he was on the cross. That doesn't make any sense. making fun of him because he was said that he was the Son of God. That's an unlikely situation for someone to be born again. Would y'all agree? Now, let's turn over to Luke. Luke tells us gives us a little bit more information about these thieves. Luke chapter 23. Now, we'll start in 34. Always back up one or two. 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and one on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's a whole other sermon in itself, isn't it? And they parted his raiment, they ripped his clothes off of him, is what that means, and cast lots for it. That means they gambled to see who would get some of it. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offered him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Did you get that? In Matthew, there were two, both of them did it. Now, he says, one of them did it. Is that a contradiction? Does the Bible contradict itself? Let's see. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? See, something happened to that man where he realized, what in the world are we doing mocking Jesus? He did mock him, and then he didn't. He realized that, first of all, he says, Don't you fear God? He didn't fear God at the first, did he? But he does now. He says, he realized that we're condemned up here with him. Why in the world would we be mocking him for being in the same situation that we are? Don't you fear God? We're in the same condemnation. We are. And then he says, And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Who told him that? Were all the people down there saying, Oh, we can't believe that Jesus is up there. He's so good. He's the Son of God. We can't believe that He's up there. No, they're saying exactly the opposite of that. Nobody preached to that thief on the cross. Nobody baptized that man, brought him down off the cross, baptized him and put him up there. It's not recorded that that man or anybody else prayed for him to receive the Spirit. No, friends, it was by the power of God that the Spirit came into him as he was there on that cross. And I tell you, where no man could reach him, no man, an unlikely man, unlikely situation that God would have the power to take this man and born him again while he was yet mocking Jesus, but he did. And what a blessing it was. It's a blessing because you and I can take comfort that that God's power goes beyond borders. His power goes beyond stubbornness and obstinacy. His power goes beyond the power of man. His power is more powerful than any prayer that we pray, or any baptism that we could engage ourselves in, or any preaching that's done. God's more powerful than any preaching that a man has ever done. And it's powerful enough to save the most heinous and ungodly of sinners, because He's God. And He sends it where He pleases. And it pleased God to send it to a young baby that hadn't been born. It pleased God to send him to an old crusty man that hated God. He said he thought he loved Him, but he didn't really. He just loved the show of it. Took that old murderer and melted his heart like wax. And Paul lived out the rest of his days serving God. I bet he asked him that question a lot of times. What would you have me to do? And then he took one that was on his deathbed. See how God takes us all? He gives us all the examples we need. From before birth, to a man in the prime of his life, to a man that was this close to death. He born them all again. Something happened to him. Let's see what Jesus said to him. "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." What a plea. You see, that was a request. But that request wasn't what made him change his mind or cause the Spirit to come in him, was it? No. That had already happened. Life always precedes action. Always. What can a dead man do? Nothing. Except stink. "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Blessing. Paradise. I can't imagine what that's like. But I don't think Jesus was lying about it, do you? Now, those are three unlikely places and unlikely men, unlikely babies, unlikely thief. Nobody preached to the thief or any of them. They weren't baptized. They didn't say a prayer. All the things that all the religions of the world pose for someone to be able to get to heaven. When really, it's the sole power of God. Now, I want to talk about this for just a minute. I had a mind to speak about this longer. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6, because we're talking about how the Spirit helps. The initial part and way that the Spirit helps is by being making us born again. Paul starts out chapter 6, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. You remember we talked a few weeks ago about God's only got two laws? And why, if we've been freed from sin, why we still die? As Paul says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Didn't make us free from the punishment of that law, which is death. But when we die, death has no more dominion over us. We're freed from it. You know, I think I'm going to save this for next week, but I want you to think about this week. The old man is a lame duck. Y'all know what that means? Y'all know what a lame duck is? It's a term that we use to talk about a president who has, after an election, lost. But he's still got a few more months to serve. But nobody regards him. He has no power, really, to do anything. He's just riding out his time. May the Lord bless you. Study about this. About what the old man and the new man is. And how it's an old, lame duck. May the Lord bless you is my prayer. I pray that we would all, whenever we're having conversations, to bring up the power of God in making us regenerated or born again or a new man. I got a new man in me. And this one verse or this one statement, life always precedes action. What did you do? Who were you before you were born? What did you do before you were born? Nothing. Pray for us. Pray for the sick. May God bless you is my prayer. If any of you have a mind to join the church today, the doors of the church are open for a reception of members. You may come and let your wishes be known.